Welcome to Invictus Games Radio. I'm PJ Kwong. The Invictus Games Toronto 2017 take place September 23rd to 30th and will harness the power of sport to inspire the recovery of wounded, ill, and injured servicemen and women. This podcast shines a light on the stories of those competing in the games and those surrounding them. Their spirit is unconquered. On today's episode, well, an amazing community leader. One of the reasons that Toronto is such a terrific hosting city is because of the outstanding representation from different national communities. In addition to all of the planning going on behind the scenes by Invictus Games Toronto 2017 Organizing Committee, there are communities across the city getting ready to welcome their teams. With 17 nations, 550 plus competitors, and 1,100 friends and family members arriving in Toronto at the end of September, that's a lot of excitement. Today, we're going to talk to Renata Roman, here on the ground helping to ensure that the Ukrainian delegation has the best time ever. Renata, thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.
So I should say that you and I know each other from figure skating. So we've known each other a long time. So when you popped up here, it was like old home week.
It was fantastic. Was great. I saw your name and it's like, wow.
Could it be?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. So you're a mom, you're a wife, you're a business owner, you're an entrepreneur. How did you get, physiotherapist, absolutely. You've got a clinic in Mississauga.
Yes.
You've been a physiotherapist for a long time. And I want to know how you get to be from there to here. What's your story?
Well, I don't think we have that much time to start, but again, being a physiotherapist, born and raised in Canada, I saw an opportunity. Ukraine has been changing over the past 25 years. Actually, literally today is Ukrainian Independence Day.
When we're taping this.
Yes, when we're taping this. So everybody's all excited and watching already, you know, what's happening in Ukraine. So Ukraine has gone through a big transformation, and ever since even I've been in physio. So I saw an opportunity to help. One of them being figure skating, which
yes,
of course was
true.
My love of figure skating. I was a figure skater and I'm like, I could help them with this. So we started with that. I started also then after that doing some sports therapy, progressed to children's hospitals, and the foundation that I worked with, volunteered for a while, was Children of Chernobyl Canadian Fund. So doing some touring through hospitals. So I've been involved basically for the past 25 years, on and off. You know, seeing who's doing good work, how we can help push the system, how we can help educate, because education, of course, is a big thing. So when the Invictus Games came up and we heard that the Ukrainian team was helping to make a bid, because obviously this is their first year here, everybody got on the bandwagon and started, you know, telling Ukraine, you guys should really do this, make sure you fill in all your applications. Some of it came from Toronto. A lot of work was done in Ukraine. So they asked me to see if I can help be the liaison person or the host, basically. And that's how we are here.
There is so much excitement. I mean, I know you and I have talked a lot about what Ukrainian Canadians, especially here in Toronto, are feeling. You've got everybody from children all the way up to sort of the most experienced business leaders in the community who are involved. What is it about Team Ukraine coming to this city that has everybody so excited?
Well, one of the big reasons, it's the first time that they're here. And obviously...
In the Invictus Games.
In the Invictus Games. And obviously, Ukraine is at war.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter how you look at it, on the east, we get daily reports. What's happening, the shelling, how many soldiers are injured, how many soldiers are killed. We don't like reading those, but they come in every day. So we are one of the rare countries in this group of 17 that are actively at war. We see this, you know, all the time. Soldiers are coming back, being sent back to their homes all over the country. Not just in the east, but they do come from all over. So when I go visit a hospital, especially a military hospital, I will see, you know, the injured soldiers. So that is one of the biggest things that the Ukraine community here is really trying to support. They want to show their gratitude. They want to show their support. A lot of people here in Canada, Ukrainians have been in Canada for 125 years. So some people, even on my organization committee, have had their grandparents come here. Some of them, like myself, my parents came from Ukraine. Others themselves came from Ukraine. So there is a strong tie. a strong family connection. Some of them might even have friends and family who have been at war. So that is probably the biggest single cause that they're really ready to support, go to the events and cheer them on.
So we talk a lot about the Invictus Games being a rehabilitative event as much as anything. Obviously sporting event, obviously competition. You are spearheading an effort in Ukraine to teach rehabilitative therapy. So what is it about being an injured soldier in Ukraine? What do you want people to know about how that rehabilitation happens?
Well, I'll start off with the sport aspect itself. And being a physiotherapist, you know, I have people come to the clinic and we do certain specific routines and exercises with them and teaching. Sport is actually an interesting thing. Usually I see the opposite end. I usually see people injured in sports and then they come and see me. As Ukraine has gone from a Soviet state, sport was very big for a selected few. The average person didn't say, hey, I'm going to go golfing this weekend, I'm going to go skiing, I'm going to go, you know, to the gym. 25 years ago, it was literally unheard of for an average person like you and me, unless you're an Olympic level athlete, to have access to a gym, have access to trainers to do sport. That's now slowly changing. You know, cousins of mine, even in Ukraine, are, I'm going to the squash club. I'm like, really? So I'm being impressed to see how that's slowly starting to change, how the whole society is starting to embrace sports. So that's one positive aspect. Now that they've introduced this concept of Invictus Games, meaning a competitive, we call it a Paralympic style sport, it has multifacets of rehab. You know, a soldier is injured, say he's had his leg amputated from a war wound, and he has to get up, make sure that he knows he has to go to the gym, he has to go meet his trainer. A lot of motivation, a lot of psychological motivation to get them out of the house, get them over to the gym. There's a lot of socializing. A lot of group of soldiers are getting together and like, hey, why don't we just get together, go for walks, or get together to, I know a few of them who aren't coming, but that I've worked with over, they're starting an archery club. Hmm. And I'm like, great. So they even applied for a few, you know, funding that they could. So again, socializing, they're meeting together. So that's the social rehab aspect. And then of course, there's the obvious physical rehab active. If you want to compete in a sport, you have to do basic exercises, whether it's running, whether it's lifting weights, improving your cardio. And so the third element, of course, is the physical rehab. So all three, and plus it makes it fun. It's mm-hmm. a lot easier for me to tell, you know, even a patient's like, okay, well, I think, you know, maybe you're ready to go play tennis and do this, as opposed to sitting in front of a mirror and doing repetitive exercises. So that also psychologically is a boost. You know, and even here in Canada, we're all trying to push people to get active, to get fit.
Sure.
Go to a gym, you know, or even just go do a sport. It doesn't have to be
at
a competitive.
Or just go for a walk.
Yeah, go for a walk. It doesn't have to be high competitive level. You know, if you're thinking, hey, you know, I saw tennis on TV, you know, last weekend, maybe I'll take it up. Go for it, you know. So I think that's the biggest change in Ukrainian society. Now, the second part that you mentioned is about the teaching. Rehab in itself is starting to take off in terms of it hasn't been very popular. Like the average person, if they had an injury, they wouldn't know, oh, maybe I'll go see a physiotherapist like they do in Canada, even for a simple strain or simple injury, which could eventually become worse. So that concept in itself, because the soldiers are now going to rehab, somebody else, you know, who also might have an amputation, maybe not from the war, but from a car accident or being diabetic or something, they're now thinking, maybe I'll go to rehab. So the more people think about going, the more doctors recommend, the more qualified therapists there are, it helps to improve society as a whole.
And the quality of life, for sure.
Yes, yes.
We here in Canada and the United States and other countries, we talk a lot about the effects of post-traumatic stress disorder, or as some competitors like to call it, post-traumatic stress injury. Is the invisible wound, is that recognized in Ukraine, or is that still sort of coming along? Because it's only very recently that we have started as a society here to really acknowledge these invisible wounds, these struggles that people are having that are not seen from the outside versus an amputation, which everybody can see.
Yeah.
Where have you found that to be in Ukraine?
Again, it's very early. I was talking with doctors and psychologists, And they literally told me last year that they just started hearing about it. So they are a little bit further behind than, say, Canada, North America. And again, when I went to school 30 years ago, it wasn't really taught.
No, absolutely not.
We didn't know too much about it. Canada has been relatively at peace, you know, in terms of, apart from, you know, some military operations in terms of supports. So when I went to school, it didn't exist. So I have to, you know, take some of that responsibility in order to learn.
Well, no, it was get over it. That was the attitude. It wasn't seen as a real injury.
Right. Yeah. And now, I mean, even things like Hollywood movies are starting to show it, which is showing it to a larger population of people. So they've now learned about it. They're starting, I've heard, to teach it in psychology courses and even in medical schools, but it's very early. The doctors and the psychologists, they've only had like about a year or so training. And even again, the society as a whole, it's a new concept for them. So hopefully, you know, in the next few years, they'll learn a little bit more. And as they improve, it'll get sort of where Canada is right now.
So how many team members are coming and how large is the delegation?
Well, a very interesting question, but I will emphasize one thing which I'm very proud of and I think it is amazing. So Canada, Ukraine was allotted 15 positions. So they are competing in six different categories. And as you know, some of you may know, the an athlete isn't just restricted to one competition. They can participate in multiples. So some of them have multiples, but they've decided to focus on six just so they get their feet wet and they get to, you know, figure out how this Invictus Games works. So 15 are coming, but that's not to say that there's only 15 soldiers on the team. As we know, there's this plus two rule, you know, that Invictus has come out, which is
friends
amazing,
and family.
Friends and family. And towards the end, there was a good tryout. I think they started off with over 150 soldiers when they put up the call who wants to compete in Invictus over Ukraine. 150 showed up. They had tryouts. They had elimination rounds. They started with 150, narrowed them to 100, et cetera, et cetera. Towards the end, for the last 2 months prior to the final decision, they had 30 soldiers. And of course, with every team, there's a reserve. So soldiers are picked, athletes are picked, and then somebody might get injured during the training session or something happens. So they had a reserve team. I was told by the captain recently when I met him in Washington, the 15 were all in a room and 15 were picked. And of course, the 15 were really happy and the other 15 weren't so happy, unfortunately. So all the 15 got together in a little room as soon as it happened, like within, they said, 10 seconds.
The ones who were chosen?
The ones who chosen. And they said, for one of our plus ones, we want those 15.
Isn't that wonderful?
So they decided. So the friends and family are, we call them the reserve team. So it's great for us in the Ukrainian community because those reserve team won't have to be at all the practices. They won't have to be at all the competitions. So we will be able to have a little bit of access to them to do a little bit more community work, i.e. taking them to schools, taking them to sports clubs. So there's a lot of work around that. We don't want to overtax their time, but the community here, the diaspora, is waiting to see them. And I just get calls daily. Can you bring the soldiers over? Can you do this? So they're very excited. And like I said, because this reserve team, we have the ability to do that.
Why is it important for children in Canada of Ukrainian heritage, why is it important for them to connect with the soldiers?
A sense of history, a sense of continuity, a sense of this is what they've done, this is what they've lived through. Any one of us, any one of our children could have been there through other acts of war, World War I, a big migration, definitely the biggest migration, World War II up until now, like my parents fled World War II, coming here to Canada. So I think there's always that, you know, and again, whether it's, there could have been their friends and their families that have been there living in Ukraine all their lives, doing, you know, great work, what they're doing, and then had to be called up to war. So it's that sense of pride that look what the country's achieved. You're looking at a very big neighbor. Not that we're not immune to that. Canada, US, Ukraine, Russia. The country stood up and the country's actually grown up. And how we said back in, I was watching the days of Vimy. We had, of course, the big Vimy Ridge presentations and the celebrations. This is where they said where Canada grew up in war.
Came of age.
This war is where Ukraine came of age.
So when was Independence Day? What year?
Officially, yes, breaking up from the Soviet Union was August 24th, 1991.
What do you remember about that day? Is there anything?
There's a lot, because there was a lot of things leading up to it. Of course, when Gorbachev resigned and things, you know, started falling apart. We were here in Canada. It was summer, so we were trying to catch up. The internet wasn't readily available, so it wasn't like, hey, I'll click, you know, and find all this information. So obviously it was either, you know, Radio Europe or something, or you had to hear it through the grapevine, through friends and family. I think the biggest thing was a sense of relief that finally, for a lot of us, you know, our grandparents who would have lived through the war, lived through the Soviet Union, they're like, we wish they could have been around to see it. That probably would have been one of our greatest sort of wishes, that what they fought for, not necessarily in the war, but what they fought for when they came to Canada and to the U.S., to keep the culture alive, to keep the religions alive, to keep the whole era that Ukraine is going to one day rise up. And they didn't get a chance to see it. So that would have been something I would have thought about on that day. And we didn't know where it's going.
Sure.
You know, it's easy enough. Canada had its, you know, on July 1st, they signed the documentations. Nice and easy, easy peasy. No really major war kind of stuff. Whereas this, it was still an unknown. So there was still a little bit of trepidation. What's going to happen next? Is it going to survive? Because we've had a few independence. The longest time, the other time that we celebrated independence prior to this was in 1918, where the Ukraine declared a republic. Little known fact, maybe some people do know about it, in Kyiv. Unfortunately, it was short-lived a year because the Soviets came in. So that's what we actually officially for the longest time celcelebrated is January 22nd, 1918.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So when I was growing up, that was the Independence Day.
So today, we're in Canada. Tell me about how long the planning efforts have been going on to celebrate the arrival of Team Ukraine at the Invictus Games.
At least a year. I started this putting together a group of people, trying to get some vague ideas. You know, at that time, we didn't know how many are coming. You know, we didn't know the event. So it was very vague, but we knew we wanted to do something. So we couldn't concentrate too much about events or who's coming. But we thought, well, we'll probably plan something like a greeting at the airport. Ukrainians love to greet people. So we are planning a, when they arrive, which is literally less than a month away, the whole team will be arriving together. And all, I think, close to 50, because we've got 15 times 30 friends and family, and then some officials and the teams that are there. They'll be arriving. And even though it's midday, it's going to be a Thursday, but we're gathering people, you know, whoever, you know, wants to come, is retired, maybe work shift work. The traditional salt and braided bread, which is...
Like, now, tell me about that.
Yes. So this is a long-standing traditional greeting, hundreds of years, you know, who knows even how long. Ukraine, of course, is known as the breadbasket of Europe. So bread is a big part of their food and culture. These breads are actually extra special made. They're not just like a loaf of bread you might buy at a bakery. Maybe some of you might have seen them during Ukrainian Christmas celebrations, you know, at weddings. They're very popular to greet the family, to greet the newly married couple. It's called a korovai. Usually they very elaborately designed. It's more very square. Think of an Italian panettone kind of style. And then the braids are made, little birds, little ducklings, things that represent everything that happens on the earth. So that's usually presented to them, and they're supposed to take a little piece that represents the earth and all the work that the Ukrainians do. The salt, of course, is the salt of life. You need salt to spice things up. And of course, it's used as a preservative, you know, back in the days. So salt is very popular. It's popular in a few cultures, you know, in Eastern Europe. Ukrainians do like to use it, usually presented on a very nice embroidered towel. Usually it's a formal greeting. People bow and they take a little piece of the bread, dip it in the salt and have that. So we will definitely be doing that when we greet the team at the airport. We're trying to sort that out. And flowers, of course, are always a very traditional a gift. So we're thinking along those lines. And of course, what's a Ukrainian event without any singing? So and flag singing waving. And yep. So if people happen to be at the airport on that September day, and if they see a lot of Ukrainians in costumes and singing and maybe dancing, they'll know the Ukrainian team has arrived. So that's kind of that we've planned out for a while, and we're just waiting for some minor details.
And is the community going to be hosting events for the team?
Yes. So the day after, in order not to compete with their competitive schedule, we are hosting a gala evening tribute to the soldiers. We have invited many ministers from Canada, different levels of government, people who have we've been used to working with in our community, whether it's federal politics, the provincial government, and the local government are invited. Hopefully, a lot of them will attend. All the soldiers. The big Ukrainian contingent is actually very large that's coming, meaning ministers, the president is coming, and a lot of deputies and people who have worked on the Invictus, a lot of people who are working in the military, the NATO, the commanders. So they're all invited. We're inviting the Ukrainian community at large to participate, and it'll be a nice evening where people can go up to the soldiers, talk to them, mix and mingle, be a few presentations, and we're sending them off their way, hopefully for a great competition, a competitive week.
Now, what about things like Niagara Falls? What about Canadian landmarks or Toronto landmarks? Is there time allotted for, in your planning, for the soldiers to see Canadian things?
Not so much in our planning.
Okay.
I've read it's in the Invictus planning. So I did see a schedule that there is Niagara Falls. For some reason, Niagara Falls is an amazing attraction to all Ukrainians that come, whether it's my family, friends, other people. Everybody wants to go to Niagara Falls who comes from Ukraine. It must
for
be
sure
one of the big things. So I'm pretty sure that I saw that Invictus is doing something, which is great. This way then, I think the soldiers want to see something again Canadian. They know that some of them may have friends and family that are Canadian, so they want to see what we've grown up with, what kind of culture we've had. And I think there's a pretty busy schedule that Invictus has put together.
Sure.
So I don't want to interfere with that. I'm going to let Invictus take care of that, and that's great. So we appreciate much of that, and I'm pretty sure our soldiers will take as much advantage as they can given their schedule.
Ukrainian soldiers coming to Canada, if you were to host them at dinner, do you do Ukrainian food, Canadian food? What do you do?
Probably a combination of the same thing. I can see that point. Some of them, I think, would probably like to see something different or maybe something Canadian. So I think if we're going to be doing a little thing, maybe at school or something, we're not going to have more pierogies and more cabbage rolls. They can have that all the time. So we might do something like maybe poutine or Timmy's. What else is more Canadian than
double
Timmy's?
Double.
Sorry. But so we probably will do something Canadian or a Canadian-Ukrainian twist or a Canadian twist on Ukrainian food, So there's combinations of, and I think everybody has their own spin on Ukrainian food. They say, there's a standard beet soup, which is called borscht, and there's probably a thousand different recipes, and
sure,
every time somebody cooks it, it roughly the same, but there's always different flavors.
Everybody's mother and grandmother.
That's right. So I'm sure they would probably do something like that, but I'm sure they'll appreciate something Canadian.
How many people have been involved in your planning committee? How many ballpark?
Roughly about 15. We have a core, a really good core of 7 to 8, and then people come and go as we need them. So roughly about 12 to 15 has been.
If people see a Ukrainian soldier on the street, what should they say? Give me a perfect Ukrainian greeting.
Vitayamo, which means welcome.
Very nice.
Yes.
All school children know how to say that.
Yes.
Vitayamo?
So. Vitayamo.
Vitayamo.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I'll write that down for everybody.
Thanks.
Last question. Ukrainian, Canadian, Ukrainian, Canadian. Who are you rooting for?
Somebody asked me this once again, so I think I have an answer prepared. Probably both. I mean, it's almost like, people say, well, which one is your favorite child kind of stuff. So
yes, I can name my favorite child.
I know, but we won't do that publicly.
So, I'm kidding.
I know.
You are too.
Yeah. So, yes, definitely. We want to see Canada do amazingly well because we're Canadians. And the only thing that my heart kind of goes out to is Canadian soldiers have amazing facilities here. They can train well. You know, they come back to an amazing country. They have the best of the doctors. They have the best, you know, of the therapists that they can have. They have this amazing program that allows them to continue in their sports. So they have a really good place to come back to. Whereas the Ukrainians are still struggling with a lot of those things. And to see them come so far with the minimal therapy that they're exposed to, the minimal medical intervention that they're exposed to, the minimal facilities, it almost makes their job a little bit harder. And if they can compete, and they're even happy to compete on the same level, Canadians, British, Americans, you know, to show that they can step up to the plate just as well as the countries that have these wonderful opportunities, it'll be nice to see. And, mm-hmm. and so probably that little, you know, the last, you know, 10 seconds of their run or the last 10 seconds will probably be cheering, you know, for the Ukrainians, but we definitely will be cheering loudly and strongly for the Canadians. Same thing to get them going and to make sure that they make all of us proud, because they do represent us as Canadians on the world stage.
You know what? Everybody come out and cheer for the soldiers. Doesn't matter your That's country right. of origin. They all deserve our support.
They do.
And Renata, дякую.
Прошу дуже.
Thank you for talking to me.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Invictus Games Radio. For more information, visit www.invictusgames2017.com.